bling, 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 my Gelsen gun, we see you on the road. Hey, everybody. That's normally the song we end on, and we started with it. It's not your fault, Greg. You are just following logic, and if I knew anything about music, I'd be able to tell you what the titles of the songs were, but all I hear in my mind is doot, 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 doot. Oh, let's roll with this.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheater and the Rude, the number one vampire show for people that can count. One, two.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Cheater and the Rude. I am Jeff Chrysler, and I am the guy that wrote the book Get Rich Cheating, and do some of the stuff for your cheating things. My normal partner, and by normal I mean he hasn't been around for a good six eons, is Lee Papa. The author of The Rude Guide to Something or Other and The Rude Pundit or whatever, and there's a guy that writes for Salon or Slate or something that wrote a Rude Something Guide book, and he sucks. He's not that guy. This guy is good, but he's not here. He is busy. There has been a shortage of drinkable water in New Jersey, and Lee, the Rude Pundit, has volunteered to squeeze every rock he can find between his ample bosoms until water flows freely into, really into the future. Tonight is a special show here at Cheater in the Rude. I know you're thinking, Jeff, isn't every show special? And by that, I mean, don't you normally just run repeats? And yes, that's also true. But tonight is a special show because if everything holds, we will be joined by one of history's greatest satirical minds, a man who has done some things that he's not proud of, done some things that I'm not proud of, but has also done things that we can both be proud of. And that man is Tony Hendra. You may remember him from a movie called This Is Spinal Tap. He played the band manager, the guy with the paddle, the guy that said Boston's not a big college town, the guy that if I had enough time, and I really do have enough time because I have 30 minutes, I would repeat every line, but I don't need more than just enough time. I need enough reason. And you haven't given me enough reason, so why don't you call in while we wait for Tony to make it up the stairs? He's a very, very old man. He actually builds motorized, you know those things where you lock in your wheelchair and you go up the staircase? Everywhere he goes, he builds those little elevators things himself, and he needs to. He's currently on the third step up, so he has to build it. Then he has to get help going back down the stairs. Then he has to go get a wheelchair. Then he has to get locked in, and it's a very narrow doorway here too. So we're probably going to have to wait for him to do something about that. Anyway, while we're waiting, do me a favor and call in here. This is 888-874-4888. Take a listen and then call in and tell me something. You start off by telling me what your superhero power would be if you could have one superhero power, and it's not I could have all the powers in the world, because you know what, that is why we have Rand Paul, so that's not going to be what it is. Greg, I hope you didn't mind the level. Was that, should, if I yell, should I don't care, Greg.
Back off the mic. Yeah, no, just back off the mic if you yell.
That's how professionals do it. But I was just testing. I want to see how fast you could be. There's been a lot going on in the world lately. I'm not going to kid you. I write about it and work about it every day on my one of my other many jobs as a news writer for Current TV, which has been purchased by Al Jazeera. Yeah, I got left. I'm so far left. I work for the government of Qatar, basically. There's been a lot of news going on, and I think most of you are probably sick of it. Most of you are sick of the spin. You're sick of the man telling you what you need to know? I don't even know what I just said. I just was practicing my yelling. How was that, everybody? Call in and tell me what you thought about my yelling at 888-874-4888888888. Just keep doing eights. The NSA spying thing has been big. You know, it's sort of like we've evolved from the non-scandals of the week or two before, which I don't even remember what they were. What was it like? Oh, Obama's doing stuff. The IRS is looking. Look, here's the deal. The IRS is looking into the Tea Party organizations because the Tea Party organizations wanted to get tax-exempt status. The Tea Party was named after a tax revolt. I think it's kind of reasonable for the IRS to look into what they might be doing seeking this tax-exempt status, particularly when some of them are engineered by Grover, semi-pledge not to have any new taxes. Norquist, yeah, my voice can go there. Okay, I might not be feeling great, but I can hold up this little, peer thing a long time. You think it's not possible, but this is how I made it through high school, and that was before I even... Yeah, exactly. See, I have, a lot of times what I do as a professional person that talks is, I think about Megan Flaherty. Megan Flaherty was, beautiful young woman. She still is a beautiful young woman, I'm sure. But, she was seventh grade. She was, a crush of mine, and I called her up. And we chatted for a minute about who knows what some teacher did a science experiment. And I said, would you like to go out with me? And she said, who's this? And normally, a normal person's life, the terror, the horror that send them into a decade-long spiral of self-loathing and video games would end there. But I said, Jeff. And she said, Jeff who? Now, the nice thing about this was that for me, what it actually proved is by humiliation can actually further advance relationships and productivity, because I was humiliated in front of two people, the woman on the phone, the young lady, and myself, but then she actually was nice to me later. I mean, no, the things didn't happen that I thought I would happen, and back when I was in seventh grade, they, for some reason, mostly involved soap, but we became friends, and we chatted, and years later, we saw each other across a crowded room and pretended... We recognized each other and said hello, but it was because of the humiliation that we were able to move forward. I think that we probably don't have to have an advanced degree in pop psychology to understand that is why Ted Cruz is such an asshole. Because he is seeking the public humiliation that will enable him to have a relationship with himself that will move him forward into a human... I want to say dignity, but he doesn't care about digging into an existence where he feels satisfied and somewhere makes a connection with human beings. So he just puts himself out for ridicule and humiliation. I believe that there are psychological problems amongst pretty much anyone that seeks a high-level public office. I think that, you've got to be sort of a... Narcissist isn't the right word, but, you've got to really believe in yourself and your cause. And as we get older, once you're above 30, let's say, believing in your cause wholeheartedly and 100% is kind of, you're ignoring some pretty basic evidence that everything isn't perfect. Once you realize that you didn't, you're not the son of Jor-El, ha-ha, Superman! I keep thinking that we have so many problems because of all the superhero movies. Because we're individuals that believe, wait, we can just chill out and soon there'll be an atomic thing that transforms us into some sort of monster, but it could be a good monster. Are you seeing where I'm going here, Greg? Yep. So my feeling is, if we just wait long enough, we'll turn into a monster and we'll be rising from the sea, and in front of us, we will witness the wonder and splendor that is the city of Tokyo. But it's not real Tokyo. No, no, no. It is a metaphorical Tokyo that represents culture advancing beyond its whims. And then it is up to us, this radioactive monster, to say to Tokyo, this thing!
Run! It's Godzilla!
All right, well, that's what Tokyo says to us. And that's what we say to Tokyo, because you cannot run, you cannot hide, but you can take a break. We are going to take a 30-second break, and when we come back... You're going to call in 888-874-4888. Or I will go back to the voice that reminded me of Megan Flaherty, and I will tell you what I know about Ted Cruz. Probably the fourth time I've told the story. Unless you call in, we'll be right back. This is Cheater on the Root. We'll be right back. Only one man can defeat the Godzilla inside all of us. That man comes from a planet far away. Not in a different time like Star Wars, but far away. That man is in each of us, and when I say man, I don't mean to exclude the ladies. The ladies have a man inside of them, too, and I don't mean to infer anything sexual. I mean to say that Superman resides within each of us, just as Godzilla does. And just like Godzilla has a little bit of good inside the bad, so does Superman have a little bit of bad inside the good. And I find nothing more appropriate for my guest tonight than to say such things about Godzilla and Superman, because to me, this guest, who will any minute be here, I swear I'm not just kidding, is part superhero, part giant lizard terrorizing Tokyo. Oftentimes when I witness his stomping of my civilization, I am unable to speak normally. I speak in tongues. My lips move at a time when my words don't come out, which I'm actually doing right now. Much like Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, those people, they represent... You see what I'm doing? That's exactly how it works. Nonetheless, my guest this evening, it's been a long time since we've had an in-studio guest here on Cheater in the Root. In fact, so long that not only have we not had an in-studio guest, but we've lost one of our hosts. We've actually got negative guests, but that's all changing tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a distinct pleasure to introduce to you a gentleman who has accomplished many things in the field of satire, none probably greater than agreeing to work with a group of upstarts on a project called The Final Edition. The Final Edition is a radio show that you can hear in about 15 minutes here on PR. That's so weird. It's right after this show. And he's a wonderful man. I don't know what we're going to talk about. That's why you're going to call in at 888-874-4888. Don't worry, no one ever calls in.
They can call in.
They don't know. Most of the people listening don't know how to call in.
They don't know how to phone.
Right. They're on the internet.
I see.
You don't need phones.
Google. You can call on Google.
Yeah, Google Voice. The number, again, is whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, I've done a long introduction. He's now settled in. My guest tonight is Tony Hendra. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be here. I've never been on your show.
No, it's a very...
Usually you're on my show.
It's true. I am on your show. It's very select. The booking process here is very difficult. It's hard to find people that are willing to face the critical.
Well, I just flew in from Las Vegas.
Yeah? How are your arms?
They're really tired.
Yeah.
Really,
that's satire,
really
everybody.
Tired.
Tune in at 8:30 for the Final Edition to hear more that.
No, this isn't satire. This is good old-fashioned comedy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So how was the traffic in that case?
The traffic outside is insane. The weather is insane. The monsters are indeed rising from the deep. And they're actually smashing a few buildings.
That's cool.
There are things coming out of the river.
That's
very
good.
Very large, very large things. And I think it is good. It is good.
Well, a little pruning, if you will.
Yeah.
Pruning of
maybe they'll get Bloomberg.
They could, but wouldn't we automatically then get Christine Quinn if they got rid of Bloomberg?
Just for a few months.
Is she the second in line? I actually don't know. Is she? There's no vice mayor. She's the head of the council.
Yes, there is. Isn't there a lieutenant mayor or something? No, there can't be.
Yeah, I don't think they use that word since the 40s to refer to lieutenants, but that's great if you want to.
But Bloomberg actually said today that the police ought not to be stopped from or even supervised from stop and frisk. Because the Justice Department is now talking about having a monitor of the NYPD. For this stop and frisk thing.
I didn't even realize he came out that strong. I mean,
yeah,
he's
said
been
it shouldn't
favor.
Be monitored because any military-type operation, as he put it, must not have any confusion in the ranks. There must be no confusion between the command structure and the ranks.
This just seems like a fun little
thing. Have you ever thought of the NYPD as a private army of Mayor Bloomberg? I think that's sort of what he's saying.
That is what he's saying, and yes, I have thought of them like that. I find that's sort of how they work.
It's like Cesare Borgia didn't have as powerful a private army as this.
No.
We all know who Cesare Borgia was.
Well, most of us. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for all of my listeners.
Well, both of them.
We have more than two listeners here. A lot of people turn on for the earlier show and just leave it on.
I see. But other people are just waiting for the Final Edition Radio Hour to tune in.
Most people start early because they don't want to miss the beginning, the best part of the show.
The cock crying.
Yes. I can't. I would try to do that. You know, somebody, this whole idea of the command structure is what, was it Carl Levin, who was resigning as senator of Michigan, and I said, had actually had a pretty impressive career doing some good progressive stuff with the sexual harassment in the military. He's come out against having outside prosecutors decide whether cases should be prosecuted, and instead of leaving it the chain of command, which is a problem because you can't break that chain of command.
Chain of command that's actually doing the raping.
Sexual harassment and stop and frisk, there are definitely some similarities.
Sure.
It's probably how the scanners at the airport do the same thing. They're all related, right?
It all has to do with hands in pockets.
True.
Ultimately.
True. Now, Tony, I want to ask you a question, something that you said in passing the other day when we were having one of our many high-level meetings with very, very important people because of the great success of the Final Edition Radio Hour, thefinaledition.com, which I think I knew, but I don't think I really knew, and so I want to ask you about this moment in your life. You turned down an opportunity to be in a small little group called Monty Python? Or is that, that's the shorthand version?
That's a shorthand version, and it's also the historical long view version. The context of this was that I was at Cambridge University, the real one, the one in England.
Right, not that knockoff in Boston.
Not the knockoff, the Walmart Cambridge up in Massachusetts. But with John Cleese and Graham Chapman, amongst other people. Who are less famous here, but very famous in England. And in fact, when I came down from Cambridge, Graham and I were a comedy team, which was possibly the only time in my comedy career that I was the straight man, because he was definitely funnier than I was.
No shame in that.
But no, and Graham and I got on very well. In fact, for one wonderful month or so, we were the favorite comedy team of the Beatles. But that's another story. And so anyway, eventually Graham decided he wanted to be a doctor and play doctor anyway. And he went back to doing that at a place called St. Bart's.
Not the island.
Not the island. That's... And but just as luxurious.
Sure.
A hospital in central London. And I went off to America eventually with my, or came to America with my substitute, Graham, who was a guy called Nick Ullett, who was the straight man. So now I was the funny man. Is this really tedious? Or
no, this is great.
It's really, really interesting stuff.
No, it's, I mean, I'm sure you know the story, but I'm hoping you can continue telling.
Sure.
You've got plenty of time.
In any case, so and Nick Ullett and I had some success here after a rather rocky start, opening for Lenny Bruce and getting mixed up with Lenny Bruce, which meant that we were boycotted by about 90% of the nightclubs
in America. It's important.
If
people don't hate you, then you're not doing anything.
Well, later on, it was a badge of courage, but not then. In any event, I kept in touch with Cleese and Graham and several other guys from Cambridge and a couple of women, too, were doing a series of radio shows in Britain. One of them was with David Frost, and then there was another one. And so the 60s marched on, and at some point in the 60s, I have yet to find the letter which John wrote to me. I think it was in 1967. He wrote a letter to me saying, we're beginning to think about doing a television show. And you should probably come back and talk to us about that and, you know, see how you feel. And, of course, I had no idea what would eventually come of that. For all I knew, I was going to go back and, you know, get small bit parts in British television in the 60s, which wasn't any way to make a living.
It was the YouTube of the 60s.
Yes, indeed. So, at the time, Nick and I had just scored a development deal at NBC to do our own sitcom. Mm. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll go back next year when I see how this sitcom thing pans out.
An understandable choice.
I never looked back. But who knows what would have happened.
Yeah. Well, I made you look back now.
Yeah, indeed. But I could have been an Eric Idle.
Was there some sense that did Eric Idle join up after and then you did
no? But Eric actually was slightly younger. The core group was Graham, John, Terry Jones, and Mike Palin, and then there was Terry Gilliam, and there was Eric Idle. Eric Idle was like at Footlights in Cambridge about right. 3 or 4 years after me.
That is fascinating.
Yeah,
you seem to handle that very well.
I'm not actually saying I was would ever have been funny enough to.
Or you even would have made the cut. You might have come back and.
No, I might have been Monty Python, B team.
You might have been the fifth Beatle, as it were, or whatever they.
The seventh Python.
Well, it's good. I mean, look.
Anyway,
that is the trick still of show business is making choices. I mean, a development deal in hand, versus maybe you know these guys that I know. Who knows what'll happen.
And what was fascinating about the development deal was that we worked on it with a very, very funny guy called Ernie Pintoff, whose name has not resounded down the ages, but was a very, very hot property in those days. And we were working on this kind of zany, you know, kind of 60s sitcom idea. It took a surprisingly long time, which we were surprised by, because they had seemed to be very keen on developing this sitcom. And 67 went into 68, and then in January of 69, or maybe it was in 68. My dates are a little hazy here, but
it's been a few years.
No, it was 68, right? 68. A show called Laugh-In came on the air in January of 68. It was a mid-season replacement.
I know Laugh-In.
It was hosted by a comedy team called Rowan and Martin. And from the moment that it was clear that Laugh-In was going to be a hit. Oh, and the other thing.
Was Laugh-In on NBC?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was NBC. And it was actually produced by a guy called George Slatter, yeah. Who was also the executive producer of our show. And from the moment that Laugh-In going to be a hit. We never heard another word from George Slatter or Ernie Pintoff or NBC.
They just jumped on that fast horse and wrote it.
It became very clear that we had been taken off the market. They had no intention of making a sitcom with us. They wanted us off the market until they had Laugh-In up and running.
TV.
Yeah.
always wonderful people doing wonderful and above the board.
Yeah.
Things for you. That is a... it's a shame, because back then, I couldn't tell you what was on the air, but it wasn't like now. I mean, you get a sitcom now, so what? There's a billion shows on, but those are the eras when of...
No, no, I mean, if you got a sitcom and it kicked in, you know, you could make a lot of money.
Yeah,
$25,000 a year, you know.
Right, which you can invest that in the housing market and go up and down. But it would have been great, and we never would be having this conversation.
It's true.
Although you never know, Tony, I will say is what people from my field, that being the Jews, call a mensch. He's a very good man, and I think
is being a Jew a field or is it an occupation? Is.
No, like, it's a field. Originally, synagogues were made out of wheat, and they grew in large fields. In Israel, where there are a lot of wheat fields, as I'm sure you're aware from your Bible stories.
The land of the golden wheat.
Yeah.
Golden amber waves of grain, I think they call it in Israel, right?
Yep. Yeah. That's it turns into sand, but it starts as wheat and grain. That's what's important. You know, if you want to hear more about religion, you can tune in to many episodes of the Final Edition Radio Hour. We often satirize.
I am its religious correspondent.
That's true. You are a comedy god. That's I never want to say that again about anybody, let alone someone sitting near me. But that's a fascinating story. And I think that, you know, the Final Edition Radio Hour, which I am blatantly mentioning as many times as possible, it finds itself in a similar state of it has greatness of satire and comedy. What do you do next?
It certainly does. It too could have been a member of Monty Python.
Yeah.
Well, whether it could have been the Beatles' favorite show, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I love to, we'll hear that story next time you're a guest.
On
Cheater on the Root. Someone was just talking about the Beatles. If you were at one point the Beatles' favorite group, does that mean that we can pirate all of the Beatles' music without paying royalties?
Yes, we own it.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that is fantastic. Well, I guess we've learned something else about cheating here on another episode of Cheater and the Root. How are we doing, Greg? What do we got? Like 2 minutes? I don't even. My clocks don't work. 2 minutes. So listen, all your calls. I'm sorry, with the switchboard's been lighting up, but we didn't get a chance to get to your calls. But you know what? Call next for during the Final Audition Radio Hour. It's a pre-recorded sketch show, but we'd love to hear what you think, and we'll take your calls and we'll write them down on a piece of paper and roll them up and throw them out, and we'll call you back. Ladies and gentlemen, that has been another episode of Cheater and the Rude. You can check me out on Twitter at
guest star who?
I was getting there. Okay. That always, we end on that to give you some sort of like the last word. But I am at Jeff Kreisler, Kreisler. Cheating the Roots on Facebook. You start the music now, Greg, but make sure it's very. Yeah, no, not that one. I have an unhealthy obsession with chickens. I call my boss at my. I shouldn't be guessing. I call my boss the Chicken Man because he's always eating chicken. And anyway, the point is, you can only play 10 seconds of this. Was that even close? Cheater in the Rude here on Progressive Radio Network, which has a tagline and a motto, but it's something like moving forward and we won't punch you in the face. We're here infrequent Thursdays at 8 o'clock, but you know what happens? Every Thursday at 8:30 is the Final Audition Radio Hour. It's about to kick off. It's produced by my guest tonight, who was, again, the one and only Tony Hendra. Tony, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. It's been great.
Awesome. We'll hear your voice in about 3 minutes. Sweet.
This is Tony Hendra.
And Jeff Kreisler.
Of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
On PRN.
Your source for organic,
gluten-free,
sustainable
satire.
I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Now let's turn to the dramatic New York mayoral race.